Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our precious Lord and Savior, the one we worship this holy day. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel lesson today, these parables from Matthew 13. Join me in prayer as we consider the Word of God further today. Lord, richly bless the teaching, the preaching, the hearing, the receiving of your word today for the benefit of faith and repentance and understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why does the pastor, why does the preacher go on and on and on? I used to ask that question when I was a little boy in the pew. Why does the preacher talk on and on 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes? And to a little boy in the pew, it seemed like 20 minutes was 2 hours, right? Well, now I am that preacher. And sometimes the preacher might go on and on a little bit. Jesus in Matthew 13 seems to go on and on. But we're not bored. We are blessed. We want more and more when Jesus teaches and preaches. Matthew 13 is the great parable chapter of the Bible. He teaches one after another, on and on, teaching, preaching. In Matthew 13, he teaches 8 parables. A parable, as you may know, is an earthly story, a simple earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we have 4 of these parables in our gospel lesson today, short little stories. What's Jesus teaching? Well, he's teaching about his kingdom. He is the king, and he's teaching about life in his kingdom, what kind of king he is, and what happens in his kingdom. And we may be amazed and think and praise him for his words. Him, the king, and how he acts as a king, and what we are to do in his kingdom. And he lays it out in short little stories that hopefully we can understand by the guidance of God's Spirit. 4 parables today, the parable of the treasure, the pearl, the fish net, and the master who brings out old and new treasure. What are these things about? What do they teach about the kingdom of heaven? 4 things I want to talk about. These parables teach us that the cause of our salvation, the cost of our salvation, the climax of salvation, and the call of salvation. First of all, the first 2 parables, the treasure and the pearl, would teach us the cause of salvation. We got to take a step back. How in the world can we sinful people, we rebel, we sin, how can we get into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus teaches on and on about the kingdom of heaven. How can I get there? I want to go there, but he's a righteous, glorious, perfect king. And how in the world can I, a sinner, get to be with that king and be with him forever in heaven? How can it happen? What's the cause of salvation? It is 100% the seeking, searching love and grace of God. It's 0% us and 100%, again, the seeking, searching grace and love of God for sinners. These first 2 parables really teach us and highlight for us the seeking love of God for the sinner. We are the treasure hidden in the ground. And to be found, the treasure doesn't do anything. The treasure doesn't climb out of the ground in dirt and say, "Here I am, I wash myself off. Aren't I good enough for you now? Don't you want me?" The treasure sits under the ground, dirty, with bugs running on it. The pearl found by the merchant. The pearl sitting on a table, among many other things, no doubt, other pearls. And this one little pearl does not sparkle and shine and jump off the table into the guy's hands. "I'm the pearl you want. Aren't I a beautiful pearl? Look at how good I am. Take me, take me." The pearl just sits there collecting dust, among many other things. And so we, the treasure, we, the pearl, don't do anything for salvation. We don't find ourselves. We don't do something to attract God's attention. We're the treasure under the ground, dirty with sin and disease and sickness and death all around us. And we can't really do anything about it. We're the pearl in this world of many other people and many other things. We just sit here collecting dust, sin. God does the choosing. The main character in these first 2 parables is the man who searches out and digs up that treasure. It's effort. He has to get on his hands and knees and get dirty himself, dig in the dirt to get that treasure out. He does the work. He gets dirty. He sweats. This is our God who becomes a man. God searches us, becomes one of us, and Christ is on his hands and knees before people, the ultimate servant. And for 3 years, he's digging the treasure out. He takes sin upon himself, sickness, disease, death, hell, casts out demons. He's casting away the dirt and the evil to have his treasure. It's all his work. He searches and finds. The merchant finds the pearl. The pearl doesn't find him. He searches all over. He goes all over the place. He finds the pearl. He grabs it. It's in his hand. No one can snatch it from his hand. That's God's love. Jesus in his ministry goes from village to village, all over the place, grabbing sinners, grabbing pearls. You're mine now. I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's the searching of our God, his seeking love. And that's how we're saved, the cause of salvation. It interests me that in the second little parable, we're compared to a pearl. Some see the treasure as the Old Testament Christians, because God in Deuteronomy calls them his treasure. We just read that. And the pearls, the Gentile Christians, the pearls, you and I, they're both good. But he compares us to a pearl. Of all the jewels, a pearl. You know how a pearl is made, don't you? A foreign substance, a speck, enters an oyster. And the oyster doesn't like it a whole lot when it has this foreign substance inside of it. So what's the oyster do? It doesn't kick it out. He secretes things. He secretes and secretes, and that secretion covers the speck, and over time you have a pearl. Kind of is a picture of baptism for me in this neat little picture here of a pearl. When we're baptized, we're brought into God. We foreign substances, we sinners, we specks. God brings us into himself, a holy, righteous God. We're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. We're brought into God. God doesn't kick us out and say, I don't want you, get out of here. God puts a secretion around us called the blood of his Son. Puts the righteousness of Jesus around us. Puts his holiness around us, and we specks become pearls, covered by God and in God. I was lost, but now I'm found. You're not trash. You're treasure. You're not a pest to God. You're a pearl. Secondly, the cost of salvation. The great wow of the first two parables. We're still on the first two. I'll get to the last two here in a moment. But often in a parable, there's a wow factor. Some unlikely thing Jesus teaches that kind of makes you smile and giggle and say, wow, that's the kingdom. This king's incredible. And what is the wow factor of the first two parables that kind of makes us smile and sit back and say, wow, that's incredible about the king? Well, the wow factor is what the guy gives up to have the treasure and what he gives up to have the pearl. This is incredible. What does he give up to have that treasure? He gives up everything. Not 50% of what he has. That would be a lot. Not 75%. He gives up everything he has. Sells everything to have that treasure. And then one pearl. The merchant sells everything he has. That's the emphasis. Everything he had. To have one pearl? It seems like nonsense. How many of you would go to a jewelry store for one pearl? You'd give up everything you had. Your house, your home, your clothing, your dog, your cat. Everything you have. You'd sell it all, get rid of all of it to have that one pearl. Come on. We'd say that's a poor investment. That's not worth it. That's the love of God. That's the amazing grace and love of God. The cost of salvation, God gives up everything. God gives us his Son. His Son gives what for our salvation? His Son gives his heart, his soul, his spirit, his breath, his hands, his feet, his head, his body, his blood. His Son gives his life. All that he has, he gives that he might have the pearl, the treasure, you and I. And you don't think you're worth much. You don't think God loves you. You don't think you're important. Look at the cross. The cost of salvation. And what a God I have to redeem me and save me, a lost, condemned creature. Read a survey. In this survey, people were asked, what would Jesus do about some of the problems in America? And people were asked what they think Jesus would do. What would Jesus do about health care? And in the survey, 55% think that Jesus would support universal health care. What would Jesus do about gay marriage? Americans responded, 32% think that Jesus would support gay marriage. They're wrong on that one. It's evil and abomination to God. What would Jesus do about gun control? Now I got your attention. What would Jesus do about gun control? 45%, I'm sure none of you, and no Tennesseans voted on this one, 45% think that Jesus would support stricter gun control. You know what I have to say? I don't think Jesus cares a whole lot about that stuff. He does because it's life and he cares about everything, certainly. It's low on his priority list. You want to know what Jesus cares about? Look at the cross. He cares about redeeming lost, condemned sinners. That's the big issue. Taking us to heaven, giving us the resurrection of our bodies, giving us glory forever. That's what counts. That's what he cares about. Giving us eternal health care with the resurrection of our body. That's what counts. Giving us eternal peace where there are no guns and no war. And the cross is the cost. Thirdly, the climax of salvation. So we've had Christmas when God comes and seeks. We've had the cross. He gives up everything. He's teaching about himself what he does as a king. And now the climax is the last day, the parable of the fish net. It's a simple parable of the net that catches all these fish, drags them ashore, and then the fishermen separate the good fish from the bad fish. What do they do to the bad fish? The bad fish are thrown away. Jesus says there's weeping, gnashing of teeth there, hell. And the good fish are in the container. He keeps the good fish. So the final day, the climax, the last day, when every human being, from Adam and Eve to the last person on earth, all people, all nations who've ever lived, live now and will live, all people brought before God. His net of power brings all people for judgment. And there's good and bad. The good are those that are baptized. They're good not because they are good, because God calls them good and has washed them and cleansed them and covered them in righteousness. And the bad are those that reject Christ. They reject the gospel, reject baptism, reject communion. They don't need Christ. They reject. They're unbelievers. That's the bad. The good believe and are baptized. And there's a warning here in this fishnet parable. The warning is not everybody's saved. Don't think this nonsense. I can do whatever I want. God's going to save everybody. Read the parable. There are bad fish that are thrown away. Be warned. Are you a bad fish? Never been baptized? Don't really believe? Or not in church? Only God can judge. Repent. You got friends and family that way? They don't know Jesus, they'll go to hell. Call them to repent, be baptized, come to church, be saved, be a good fish. But there's also a word of comfort. And the comfort is the good fish make it. The good fish are saved and redeemed. And this is comfort for us, that we will make it to heaven by the grace of God. God will not lose us on the way. God's not going to say, oops, I lost her, I lost him, that's too bad, they wiggled through the net. God's not going to reject you along the way. I don't really like you anymore. I'll throw you in the bad container. God will not lose you. God will not reject you. God is for you, not against us. We are more than conquerors in Christ. And we make it to heaven by his grace. He pulls us there and takes us there. It's going to happen. Resurrection, glory, paradise. He will not lose us or forsake us or leave us. It's going to happen. Comfort. You know, you've all heard of Babe Ruth. He played for that horrible team, the Yankees. But I think everybody here knows who Babe Ruth is. Probably the best, greatest baseball player ever. And did you know when he got elected to the Hall of Fame? When he got elected to the Hall of Fame, there was 5 to 10% that didn't vote for Babe Ruth. And I'm a baseball fan. I ask myself, how in the world do you vote for the Hall of Fame and not vote in Babe Ruth? Is there a Hall of Fame without Babe Ruth, Pat? No. Who are these 5 or 10% that didn't vote for him? Not everybody gets every vote, except Christians. We get the entire vote of the Trinity. When you're baptized, God the Father said, you're mine. My son, my daughter, I hold you, I'll never leave you. And you never will. When you're baptized, God the Son is there in the water washing you, cleansing you, pouring his righteousness upon you. You're mine, I'll never leave you. And the Holy Spirit is there. A 3-0 vote from the Trinity. God is for us. We're God's. No one can snatch you from my hand. Not sickness, not disease, not death. You're going to go to heaven. And that's what counts. And then there's the final call of salvation here. We've been taught
as scribes today about the kingdom. And Jesus says, whatever scribe's been taught about the kingdom, you're like the master of a house who brings out old and new treasure. This is a missionary parable. It calls us to go share the good news with others. The call of salvation. Now go now, Christian, and share with other people this treasure, this gospel that you know and believe. The picture Jesus gives is simple of a master of a house, the owner of a house, who has treasure in his house. He has old treasure, new treasure. He's a lot of treasure. He doesn't hide it in a closet. He doesn't hide it in a back room and no one ever sees it. He doesn't keep it under lock and key. But he brings it out and displays his treasure, old and new, to other people. He wants other people to see his treasure, the old and new. He'll share it with others. And that's the Christian. You who believe and are baptized, you have the treasure of Christ. You have the forgiveness of sins. You don't hide it in your heart. You don't hide it in your mouth. You don't keep it private where no one knows you're a Christian. You display it to the world in all you say and do. The old treasure is the Old Testament. You know the Old Testament. The God of salvation there. Tell the stories. The new treasure is the New Testament. You know the New Testament. Jesus, death, resurrection, forgiveness. Share it all. Display it all. And all you say and do, you're a living display of the grace of God and His treasure. So you love and you serve and you're compassionate and you're kind and you're giving and you're generous and you show forth the love of God because you're a Christian. And you can't help it. You want others to see the treasure in you. You know, we had a game of pig at our house the other night. Pig's the basketball game where you try to outshoot others. And my mom is here and my mother-in-law, and they were watching. My wife was watching. And it was good old, big old 50-year-old dad versus Tom, my son, and Carter, my son-in-law, and Megan and Abby. You'll never guess who won the game of pig. Not in your wildest dreams. Who do you think won? You'll never guess, will you? Of course I won. And I don't think my kids will say they were gracious to dear old dad. But as I was defeating my kids, I heard my wife say to my mom, "He still got it, doesn't he?" "Thank you, honey." I could shoot when I was 5 years old. I can't move, John, okay? I can't play defense. I can't jump. But I can shoot. And I could shoot when I was 5, when I was 10, when I was 15. When I'm 50, I can shoot the basketball if you give me time, and I can make it. And I'll do it when I'm 75 if I'm still here. Still got it. But I got something better. A lot better, and so do you. We got the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we still got it. Some of us, after many years, we still got it, this treasure. God keeps it in us, sustains it in us. I wouldn't hide my shooting skills and let my kids beat me. I'm not that nice. Don't hide the love of God. Don't say, "I got to keep it to myself." Speak up. It's time to speak up, confess. Show God's love. Be gentle, be kind. Speak up. Confess. Let people know you're a Christian. It's time. The world waits. Display the old and new. What a teacher. May Jesus go on and on. And he does. And we love it. The cause of salvation, purely his seeking love. The cost of salvation, the cross, his life. The climax, heaven or hell. And the call to us, display your treasure. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us